Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dr. Darren Gittleman, the Senior Medical Director at the Advocate Memory Center. Hey, Doctor, thanks for joining us again. How are you today?
Thank you so much for having me this morning, John. I don't have any speed jokes, though.
Yeah, well, that's my job, sir. These are our callings. I tell stupid jokes. You help people live better lives. And is that a fair recollection by me of what to do when somebody who has dementia, say, is going off into an unrealistic world?
Yes, I think it is. You know, they live in their world. They live in the moment. And I think trying to be there with them is what's most important. And these things usually fade with time.
We did not spend much time last we visited the difference between dementia and Alzheimer's. Can you make that distinction for me?
Yes, I can. So dementia is a general term that refers to when a person is having thinking problems, and those thinking problems interfere with their daily living activities. Dementia has many, many causes, Alzheimer's disease being the most common as people age. Alzheimer's disease, then, is a specific cause of dementia in which there are certain changes in the brain that occur, and that leads to more problems with thinking and then difficulty with daily activities. So dementia is the overall umbrella term describing the syndrome that the person is experiencing, and Alzheimer's disease being the specific cause.
Well, I know some people who suffer from quote-unquote dementia, but it is not diagnosed as Alzheimer's. I don't know what it's diagnosed as then, if there's a different kind of dementia they suffer from. Is that kind of nebulous, or are there other specific diagnoses other than Alzheimer's?
There are specific diagnoses, John. So people could have vascular dementia, for example, if they've had many strokes. People can have dementias related to forms of Parkinson's disease, such as Lewy body dementia, or have problems with their speaking. They can have a certain type of what's called aphasia, or behavioral problems and what's called frontal dementia. So, yes, there are many, many, and that only touches on a few of them. There are dementias related to infections. Dementia can occur with chronic alcohol use and so on.
Yeah. Is it almost certain that if you do have a form of dementia, it will get worse, though? It, like Alzheimer's, will get worse with age?
Yes, that is unfortunately part of the definition. Dementias are usually progressive over time.
And we talked about the genetic component, and you weren't all that certain. I guess your industry is not about what these genetic triggers or markers are. But somebody said last week in a text message, both of my parents have Alzheimer's. What are my chances?
And I can certainly understand how that would be a concern. Scientists are looking for all sorts of both risk factors that can promote Alzheimer's disease, but also resilience factors that may help people resist it. So in very rare instances in families, they can carry a gene for the dominant form of Alzheimer's disease, in which the risk would be 50%. But that really comprises a very small proportion of people with disease, certainly less than 5%. And those people usually have onset earlier in life, such as the 40s or 50s. In most cases, however, when people say, well, both my parents have it, they're referring to the later onset type of Alzheimer's disease, in which the risk is increased to them, and it can be increased 2 to 4 times, but that's a relative risk. And let me illustrate this for you. So, of course, Alzheimer's is common as we age, and even if there's no family history, people are at risk. So let's say you have no family history. The risk in the general population is about 2.5% between the ages of 65 and 70. So without a family history, that risk might drop to 1.5%. And within a family history, 2 to 4 times, that is 3 to 6%. So your risk is increased, but overall the absolute risk for an individual is low.
If you have a genetic predisposition, you said that less than 50% of the people have a even 5% chance of getting what their parents had.
So if you have this dominant genetic predisposition, then unfortunately probably will get Alzheimer's. But that is very, very rare. Other genetic predispositions do not guarantee that someone would get the disease, but they may be at increased risk for it. And, you know, it's studies such as the U.S. Pointer study, which are trying to show that the family history is not necessarily your destiny, and that there are lifestyle factors that can be modified, may make up to a 40% difference in someone's risk. You know, things like we discussed, exercise, eating healthy, engaging in cognitively stimulating activities, and so on.
Hey, John Williams, my brother had Lewy body dementia. He was happiest when we sang together or we asked him to sing. I know a woman who's not much older than me. I'm 60, and she has had some form of dementia for quite some time. If a song comes on the radio from a certain era, the 60s and 70s, she can sing it word for word. Otherwise, she's non-communicative. Isn't that fascinating?
That is fascinating.
And maybe not entirely unprecedented, right? It's funny, some of the things that people are able to retain and recall, right?
And in fact, we need our memory system in the brain to make new memories. The old memories are set in the brain in a different way, and so that's why families are often surprised that, oh, Dad can remember things from 40 years ago, but not yesterday.
Doctor, what about vitamin B12, a supplement of or the absence of? Is that a factor in dementia?
It can be a factor in dementia. So when seeing a patient with memory loss, doctors look for those causes of dementia that may be reversible. And vitamin B12 deficiency is one of those things that are common as people age and may be reversible. So are thyroid disorders. So those things are searched for when we see people. So the vitamin B12 itself doesn't cause Alzheimer's disease, but a significant deficiency can affect a number of organ systems, including the brain. And so if we find that deficiency, we can replace it.
So that would be, while you can't cure it or generally treat it, that might help somebody?
Yes, it might. So if their cause of problems with their thinking is the vitamin B12 deficiency, then in that case, it is reversible.
And one last thing. What about these supplements, these brain enhancement supplements you hear about on the radio or TV or newspapers sometimes? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about. We'll leave them nameless, but there are many of them out there, a lot of commercials for them. I wish it was that easy, John. So there's no evidence that supplements or brain-enhancing drugs have any role in the prevention or treatment of dementia. In many cases, the drugs contain vitamins, for example, and if someone had a vitamin deficiency, then, of course, it would be appropriate. But if there's no vitamin deficiency, taking extra does not necessarily help. And many of the supplements just have not been adequately tested. In the U.S., as long as the substance isn't toxic, it can be marketed with sort of vague claims of benefits, as long as there's a disclaimer that it's not being sold as a treatment for a particular disease. So you do see a lot of these claims, but no, I unfortunately, they don't help people.
Dr. Darren Gittleman, Senior Medical Director at Advocate Memory Center. Swing through our studio sometime, Doc. I wanted to catch you up on a couple of text messages that came in after you left last time, but I'm sure we'll get a whole new slew if we do this again. So let's carve out some time in a month or so.
I would love to do that. Thank you.